You good?
You ready?
We're ready.
Go, let's Pete. Go. It's your turn.
That solved the problem.
That literally took away the bus.
Did it?
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
All right, now talk.
I just want to say I'm a sound engineer now.
But yeah, it's like Cheers. Everybody knows everybody like a dive bar.
Perfect.
Everybody
that's what we're looking
knows
for.
Your name. Wow.
Next time our buddy Jared's down in town, we're gonna get you a Wisco dive bar review.
Yeah, oh, yeah. See, my problem is I see myself as Norm, and Joan says I'm Cliff. That's pretty fucked up.
You're kind of both.
I'm
also getting Peter Griffin vibes.
Oh, sound effects guy. Fuck you.
Yeah. I looked at this beer and I saw it like this, and it said AYFINDER. I did not see the first letter.
Hey, finder. Hey, finder.
Kind of like Mike, you want us to go way fine finder.
So
on the side.
All right, when do we start this thing?
Well, I was just about to get it going here.
Let's go. All right, I'm gonna turn off my foul mouth
for two minutes.
So, anybody have a clean joke?
So there's this young gal, and she's golfing on a golf course, and she hasn't been there ever before. And it's one of these golf courses where all the houses are along the fairways.
Oh, sure.
And she's really nervous about knocking a ball into one of the yards, whatever. And, you know, sure as heck, she knocks a ball into a yard, and she goes into the yard looking for a ball, and she sees a smashed window. And she's really not happy about seeing the smashed window. So she goes over and she is looking at the window and sees a gentleman inside the house. So she goes over to the door and he opens the door and he goes, "You smashed my window, but you set me free." She's like, "What?" She goes, "Yes, your golf ball came through my window and smashed this vase and it set me free. I'm a genie." And she's like, "Oh my God, really?" He says, "Yes, I'm going to grant you 3 wishes." And she says, "Oh my God, that's amazing. I wish for a Maserati." He goes, "When you go back to the clubhouse and you take your clubs back to the parking lot, you're going to find a Maserati." She goes, "Oh my God, that's amazing." And she goes, I want $1 million. And he goes, "Well, your second wish, you're going to get $1 million. You check your bank account and there'll be $1 million in there." And she goes, "Well, oh my gosh, I want to be. She goes, "Well, the genie says, before I grant your last wish, you know, I've been locked in a bottle for 3,000 years. And, you know, a little help on the, I'm trying to keep this clean. You know,
I think we get it. He wants some help.
So he wants some help." And she goes, "Oh my gosh, well, of course, you know." And you know, she does her thing with him, and he's just like, "Oh, God, that's amazing. And, you know, for your last wish, what do you want?" And she's like, "Well, I just want to be rich and famous." And he goes, "Well, you know what? You have the Maserati. You have the money. Check your bank account. And when you go out to the clubhouse, everybody's going to greet you like a rock star." And she goes, "Oh, my God, I can't believe this is true." And he goes, "I can't believe you believe in genies."
Gotcha. Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Triple B Nation Presents
Bacon Bits,
where we promote positivity, empowering self-image, and the 3 B's everybody needs in their lives.
Babes.
Bacon.
And booze.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm Sneaky Pete along with
Rockstar.
Andy J.
Chief.
No shots.
And we have some guests with us tonight.
Woo! Yeah, let's go. Woo!
Welcome, Mike and Joan Doble. They are the owners of the Explorium Hospitality Group.
Thank you.
Big fancy words for saying that you own multiple locations that serve some great alcohol and great food, correct?
Yeah, a group is two, and that's Joan and I.
Pete, you need to put it in your mouth.
Yeah, you're
oh, is this better?
Well, not that close, but yeah, you get the idea.
I thought I was close enough.
If you're over here, it doesn't work.
Oh, I thought you needed to put the Exploring Hospitality Group in.
Do you need me to do it again?
And I was like, man, you know, I mean, I've seen I'm here for the gangbang hats, but I wasn't sure what this was all about.
It's going to be a good episode. All right, and we're here with Mike and Joan Doble, the owners of the Explorium Hospitality Group.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Appreciate it.
Super, our pleasure.
This is awesome.
Super excited to be here.
Super excited.
It's been a long lead up to this intro, which is really pretty great. And we are actually pretty stoked to be here, and it's kind of fun. We got all of our beers laid out here up front,
and it's my first actual formal
podcast.
Really?
Yeah. Excuse me, John, you interrupted me.
My job is to try to interrupt you.
And we're anything but formal here.
That is correct.
We popped her cherry today.
There we go. Yes.
I had the floor. I was talking about the Explorium Hospitality Group and how it's two people. And we're both here.
And we're both. It's pretty miraculous. The whole group is here.
Wow. Yeah.
The entire group is here. The gang's all here, ready to go.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. We appreciate you guys having us. This is really a cool time. And I'm trying to keep it super clean for the first 2 minutes. So
very
here we
difficult.
Go.
We'll get a mark from the editor when we're close.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
Oh, balls.
Well, the joke was. Yeah. I mean, Chief said that you guys were going to be on a podcast. I was like, sweet, free beer.
Wow. The llama, make sure you had the beer.
Yeah. Officially, you guys are the sponsor of this episode.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing the beverages.
No, we're happy to do it. It's Cheers. Super cool. I'm drinking the Damn That's Good Double IPA.
Nice.
And I got the Mitsu Japanese Lager. First time we brewed this one.
Yeah, that's a special for Mike, who's one of our good customers.
Asian Mike.
I mean, excuse me, Asian Mike.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, shit. Hold on.
Asian Mike would sponsor this show and support it.
Oh, he would so sponsor this episode because he gave himself that name.
He did.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah,
he did.
It's all okay.
You know, if
he calls something else, he's not sure.
I could go there, but I won't go there. Yeah, but
I'll just clip the Asian
He's an amazing man who happens to be of Asian descent, particularly Japanese.
And he's very proud of it.
Got it. He is.
Awesome.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah. Great guy.
That's very PC. Thank you.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah. Just
turns things around for us all.
Yeah. So I got a question. How many locations are you up to now?
Five locations.
Which is the oldest?
Southridge Mall in Greendale.
We opened in January of 2017.
I'm a regular there.
Yep.
I've been there once or three, four times a week.
Adam has his own bar stool.
He's been there at least once or twice this week.
Yeah. 2017. So we're coming, 8 years now?
We are over eight years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's been really good. I mean, we kind of created this, you know, my family's been in beer and brewing for a long time, and Joan and I have lived here in Milwaukee since 98.
I grew up here.
That Joan explains
grew
here. It.
Grew up in Muskego.
I say we've been here since 98, but she moved away for a few years, but she grew up here, and we moved back to here in 98, and my folks had a brew pub in Tampa, and they still do, and that we watched it grow and whatever, and we're like, man, we did a brew pub like that in Milwaukee. So that's where the Greendale Southridge Mall brew pub came from.
Wow.
You know, we got kind of bored. Well, I got kind of bored with what I was doing. And so I just said, hey, John, we're going to start a brew pub. And
what were you doing?
Civil engineering work, land development.
That sounds boring as fuck.
Crickets.
I was in middle school education, which definitely I'm sure you all can relate to.
Hey, you know what?
What do you mean middle school?
I get teacher vibes from her.
Yeah,
I do.
You should. Teacher and principal vibes.
Oh, boy. Better behave.
Look out, boys.
Wait. Is that this kind of vibe?
No, it's more of a here for the gangbang vibe.
You can get these hats on Triple B Nation. Shameless plug of my hats.
I mean, didn't everybody have a middle school teacher? They had a little bit a little bit of a thing. You know, like,
of course.
No, mine were all nuns.
I was only 15 years old. Oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
I had a lot of nuns, and
I'd fuck a nun.
I understand. Oh,
wow. All right.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Moving on from Harry Bush nuns.
You got the sound effect for that?
And, thanks for coming.
That's the show, folks.
I had to say it. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't, but you did anyway.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh. That's some Yellowstone shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Taking you all to the train station.
Okay. Yes. I don't even know where to go from here. Let's talk about all the locations real quick.
You have this really nice list of stuff we should talk about.
So the first location was Explorium Greendale.
I've been there. I like it.
Yep.
Cigars.
Love it. Great light, great vibe, great cheers, atmosphere. Have a tremendous local community that we love very much.
Yeah, it's very nice. Awesome.
Second location we opened in 2020. Third Ward Explorium on St. Paul Avenue.
Mike on purpose, you opened it during?
No, not on purpose. Nope. So Mike always was like ready to open second location, third location. And he's more like
go getter,
risk taker. And I'm a little bit more like, wait a second.
Maybe we should wait till people can drink beer without masks.
So you're the logical one, I guess.
Thank you. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I mean, fuck it. Let's go.
No, so we looked at a lot of different locations. And then one, Mike was like, Joan, you got to come check out this location downtown. And this was like, I don't know, December.
No, it was February
of
2020.
It wasn't that late, was it?
February 2020.
All right.
That first plane was landing in L.A. and it was like on the remote ramp and nobody knew what to do. And I was looking at new brewpub locations.
Yeah. So he's like, there are lots of...
Oh, we're talking about gingivitis.
Gingivitis. Yeah, gingivitis. Can't use the C word, apparently. I don't know if that's still a thing.
It's kind of still a thing.
All right. Gingivitis. Okay.
So
What C word did I use?
You didn't.
You didn't.
We're moving along. Like, connect the dots. Here we go. It. All right. So, February 2020. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's...
Gingivitis. All these people on the airplane had gingivitis, and they brought dentists out to check them out.
Yes.
All right, we're moving along. I was resisting opening the second location, and Mike's like, you got to look at this location. So we went down and looked at the Pritzloff space on St. Paul, walked in the door, and I was like, oh, this makes sense. It's a beautiful building. And I was like, okay, let's do this. That was February, and then we got shut down in March.
Go time.
Yeah. St. Paddy's Day. Paddy's Day. We had all these people lined up to come out and have a good time.
I remember that.
I looked at Mike, and I was like, do we still have to do this thing? Mm. He was like, yep.
Yeah, but you know what? The reality is we were only closed for like 2 days. And then we started selling to-go stuff.
Oh, at Greendale,
You know, fish fries and
And it was time to build out the Third Ward location. Yeah. So it all worked out the way it was supposed to work out.
Yeah, no, when we opened up Third Ward location in 2020, it was, it was in September. You know, things were allowed to open and, you know, but you had to space out and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah, the bullshit.
Yeah, all that.
I mean, that goes with gingivitis.
Wow. Yeah. All that gingivitis bullshit. And, but the Third Ward location was so large that we could space the tables out. Nobody felt unusual. And actually, if you go there today, all the backs on all the booths are super high and whatever. But it looks it looks like we designed it that way and we did. And the bar actually has metal bands on the bar every 6 feet. So 6 feet of nobody and 6 feet of people and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So even today, if you go in there, it's actually kind of a museum to the idiocy of what was, you know,
I love it.
What was gingivitis, excuse me.
Right. Yes. Gingivitis.
The 2020.
The 2020 stuff. And it actually worked out really well because we were able to have this long, soft opening, kind of like most of my sex life.
You have a soft opening? I'm usually something different.
Yeah. Usually that's the woman in the relationship.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Sorry, bad joke. But
I can't tell if that was supposed to be a trombone or a rim shot.
Both, I guess.
Yeah. There is no rim action in this.
It's not what I heard.
Whoa.
Anyway, so we opened that in 2020. Oh, gosh. What kind of podcast is this?
So that's our second location, and now we have three more. So yeah. Let's talk about that, and then we'll come back to the fact
I cannot breathe right now.
Where's the third location?
Actually, we
3, 4, and 5 all kind of...
They all came together.
At the same time.
it's like a gangbang.
At the end of 2024.
Like a gangbang. Yes, like a gangbang.
No,
I can't believe this is my first podcast.
I can't believe you just said all three came together.
No, I started to, and then you finished it for me. Oh!
I'm done. Oh my God!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Double Innuendo Podcast. We'll be here all night.
Ass to ass.
Okay, so 3, 4, and 5 were all part of the Good City brand.
You're such a great middle school teacher.
I know, right?
None of us can.
All the other educators would be proud of me if they're not cringing about everything else.
That's enough potty talk.
Let's get back on track.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
So, yeah, so in November of 2024, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Dan Catt, and he's the owner of Good City Brewing. And he said, hey, man, how's it going? It's like, really good. I mean, things are, you know, 2024 was kind of a tough year, but, you know, things are good and we're kind of rolling. And he said, hey, I got this great brewery and great brand and I'm doing other things and I really need somebody to kind of take it over for me. And I'm like, well, what's that mean? You know, he goes, well, I really want somebody to like kind of run Good City Brewing, you know? And he said, I really respect what you do and, you know, what you and Joan have built, you know, with the hospitality brands. And that's what, you know, that's kind of what we are. And we want to be a hospitality brand, but I just don't, you know, I'm focused on other things. And so the bottom line is, you know, fast forward a few weeks and a few, you know, really about 2 months. And we came to an agreement to buy the Good City assets and kind of take over their operations. And
wow.
Yeah. And it's
so like brewing. Forgive me for my ignorance here, but like brewing their beer.
Continuing to brew their beer, run their locations and take all their staff on. And
so they must have really been like, holy shit. Like you guys are amazing business people. Like. Please
that
do
or crazy.
Or crazy.
Probably both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. But, you know, it's for us, it was a good opportunity because our Southridge Brewery is really our kind of mainstay brewery. It's where we produce most of, you know, home all these base. Beers you see in front. It's the home base.
Home base, yeah.
And it's our big production facility. But the reality is we're kind of constrained there. It's not a very efficient brewery. And
that'll happen when three people come at once.
Yeah, right. They all came together. So when this all came together for us, I realized that the brewery at Southridge being as inefficient as it is, and we could get the Good City Brewery, which is super efficient. It's all on one floor and it all comes together at once. It's really
That's the best usually.
It is. I know.
I knew that was gonna happen.
I did,
but
too.
It's a really nice spot, and the brewery's super efficient. So
twice the size of Greendale location.
I mean, we all love big breweries, right? I mean, having a anyway.
Seems like
the bottom line is the Good City Brewery at the east side location on Farwell really. Kind of that one brewery is double the capacity of our other two breweries combined.
Wow.
Oh, geez. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
major upgrade.
So major upgrade for us, a major ability to produce a lot more.
How many square feet are we talking versus home base and the east side?
So square footage wise, they're almost comparable, actually.
Okay, so equipment, there's probably...
But there's a lot more equipment at the east side and a much smaller restaurant, smaller kitchen and whatnot.
Got it.
But the big brewery there is really kind of what we were looking for and what really made it make sense for us. And then the other thing about it is that, you know, it has this small kitchen and this small dining room, and it was really a nice opportunity to do something very different outside of what Explorium does.
Cool.
So we gained four locations. We closed the Mequon spot. We took the East or the Wauwatosa spot, which used to be ABV Social, Good City Brewing, Wauwatosa.
Okay.
We converted that to an Explorium brew pub and kind of put our menu in place, trained the staff, and kind of created this whole, you know, persona of Explorium at that spot. So that's rolling. The Deer District spot was another one we inherited. Wait. And that's still rolling just the way it was.
How did that start?
That was actually the Good City Brewing's second location.
Really?
They had the Farwell location, then they started the Good City Deer District, which is on the plaza right across from Pfizer Forum.
That's like prime real estate.
That's perfect real estate.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, it's a great spot.
Especially when there's games or concerts.
Oh, yeah. It's like automatic crowd. Like, there's no, you know, wow. How do you manage, like, the staffing for events, like, when there's a Bucks game, and you know it's just going to be slammed?
Yeah, no, it's we have as we sit here today, we have 160 people that work for us.
Oh,
so
wow.
there's a lot of people, lot of managers, a lot of, you know, kitchen staff and wait staff and whatnot. And so when that, you know, we have events going on, we backfill that spot with a bunch of people. And
yeah, so, and we got a lot of great staff with the Good City.
Oh yeah, with the acquisition.
And there's several really phenomenal managers who are used to that game day flow.
Got it.
So we have not of all the locations, that's the one we're like tackling last, because they have a really good flow going for those game day operations.
Why fuck it up? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to mess it up right now and wait until the Bucks win the playoffs and go all the way. And then we'll look at it.
Yeah.
I actually like sports, but I mean.
And they did it once. They can do it again.
That's right.
Where in Farwell is that location?
2108.
2108, just south of North Avenue. So it's like Lafayette Place and Farwell.
Oh, okay.
So what we did, so we took that small restaurant inside of the brewery. The brewery's making beer, but inside that small brewery, the small restaurant inside the brewery, we changed it into something called Wayfinder MKE. So named after our beer, Wayfinder, which is a really nice pale ale. It's a hazy pale ale, super soft, nice
this
drink.
One?
Yeah,
the one you got. Yep. Wayfinder.
It's gone, so that tells you how much I liked it.
Well, that's a good sign.
Well, we brought more. So we named it Wayfinder MKE, and it's kind of like, you know, if you look at this can, it's kind of, you know, compasses and exploring and all that stuff. It's you know, Wayfinder is kind of everything that Explorium's always been about. It's step outside of your comfort zone, try something new. And, you know, if you like Coors Light, we got something for you to try that, you know, maybe you could step out of your comfort zone. Because, you know, in the end, when this is all said and done, and we've kind of lost sight of this in recent years, but, you know, all of the mass-produced beers like Miller Lite and Bud Light and all these mass-produced, you know, beers are all just fucking chemical soups of an industrial process, and it's kind of bullshit. I mean, the reality is the light American lager that we are all sold growing up, you know, Busch Light, Bud Light, and, you know, the Bull and all this other crap, it's just industrial-made crap. You know, it's made with syrups and made with, you know, accelerated fermentation and everything else. We make beer, and
the plot thickens.
You know, it's been called, you know, we call it craft beer, but the reality is we just make beer the natural way. So we get malt and hops and, you know, clean water.
And time
and yeast, and we take our time when we make a very good product, right?
Yeah.
And,
this
you know,
is
the,
great, man. I love this.
No,
I
love appreciate this that. Because, I mean, the reality is, I mean, I think that the mass-produced beers, you know, whether it be Miller or Anheuser-Busch products or any of the other big breweries' products, have been very successful in shutting down, you know, what is naturally made local product in craft beer. I mean, you know, craft beer is not cool anymore. Well, that's because they bought fucking Terrapin. Miller bought Terrapin.
And
turned it into a crafty brand, and they took Terrapin and dumbed it down, and they say they sell you Terrapin as if it's a craft beer. It's not a fucking craft beer, right?
Wow.
You know, it's part of this industrial complex of making, you know, big beer, making, you know, beer's kind of cool for people to like, oh, well, it's super cheap. You know, I can buy a Terrapin for $5, but your local craft beer is $6.50. You know, why are you so fucking expensive? You know, it's because we take
so
time.
So fucking expensive. Right, yeah. Dollar.
I know, right?
And we employ local folks to make it.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. That's the thing. We employ local people. We buy local malts. We buy local hops. We use local water, which I don't know. I mean, some people question that.
better than Flint, Michigan water.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, we just make an all-natural quality product with no preservatives. We don't use syrups, and we don't use any other BS. And we just make a cool, natural product. And it's, you know, the term they use is craft beer. And, you know, and that's kind of become vernacular. And the big breweries have made that kind of almost like, you know, I don't know, like a negative. Like, you want to drink craft beer? You should drink the Terrapin, you know? And but the reality is all of these local craft breweries, which is about 40 in the greater Milwaukee area. So from
by the way, that's amazing. That's awesome.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make beer the natural way, and they take time. And there's a brewer that, you know, if you guys want to meet the brewer that made each of these beers, just stop in Southridge, you know, and we'll introduce you to Connor, you know, and he's a good dude and he knows how to make all these beers and he knows all the natural ingredients that went into these beers. You know, versus, so I have a weakness for like Mickey's Big Mouth, right? It's a malt liquor and a little hand grenade bottle.
There's a joke
bottle,
there somewhere.
What? Right? Oh. Also comes in 40s.
Oh,
yeah, no, it comes Mickey's? In 40s also. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Mickey's. You know, but also that's a mass produced beer and from Miller Valley. And it's, you know, it's just rice syrup and corn syrup and it's all mixed together and it makes this, you know, beer. But this is all natural stuff, you know, and it's just like buying your eggs from your farmer down the street and you stop by, you throw $10 in the thing, you grab a dozen eggs and, you know, you're happy about it.
Egg prices have come down.
They have come down quite a bit. Absolutely.
Quick Trip as of yesterday was at $3.99 a dozen.
That's affordable.
That's your local egg watch.
Not quite there, but we're getting closer as far as regular prices for eggs.
Thanks.
Signaling I would like a crusher, please.
All right, I got a question for you.
I like eggs. Eggs are great.
Okay, so the Cream City Crusher is made with just the finest malts from Wisconsin. As well
what
as
defines
flake maize.
The finest malts?
Yes.
Finest malts. I mean, malt's a commodity. I mean, it's just all bullshit. But.
No, it's not bullshit. They are the finest malts.
But it is.
Do you sniff everyone?
It's not.
I'm opening the door.
It is dry malt that comes in a sack from a local malt house.
Okay.
Which is based in Milwaukee. Proximity Malt is the malt we use in that beer.
Okay.
And their corporate headquarters is on 2nd Street. You know where Fuel Cafe is in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two doors down from Fuel Cafe is the corporate headquarters for Proximity Malt. So the
if
malted
only it was three
barley.
Doors down.
I was just going to say, are you sure it's not three doors down?
We are and turbo then we would all come tonight. Together.
It's fine.
Nice.
So, moving along. You know, I mean, I digress, but I mean, but in the end, I mean, we make all these beers with, you know, recognizable natural ingredients
and local talent.
And local talent. And
this is really good.
We sell it to local people and, you know, the money stays in the community. And, you know, not it doesn't go to, you know, InBev, which is a Belgian company, which has been bought by a South African company. And who the hell knows where that money goes?
Right. Right? Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, in the end, I mean, my point is simply this. We're a local company making local products. We buy local shit. And
great.
We hope awesome. Local people drink it and keep the money right in the community, you know.
Mike, what about this?
Oh, the hard
yeah, what
root
is that?
Beer.
This is my question. Tell me about the root beer.
Okay, so so first of all, I love root beer in general. It doesn't matter what flavor it is or what manufacturer it is. So way back in the day, 2017 Father's Day, so June of 2017, I wanted to make a root beer. Kids were demanding it. Joan said, hey, it would be really cool if we had a root beer. So I went to the grocery store and I bought, you know, an A&W and Sprecher and all these different root beers. We tasted them all. And I was like, oh, I really like this profile. And I don't remember what it was, but I liked this root beer profile. And I went to one of our flavoring companies and I said, hey, do you got root beer flavor? And they're like, yeah. And then they're in Germantown. And so I go up to Germantown.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
A few moments later.
Anyway, so Northwestern Extract in Germantown. I go up there and I say, hey, I really like the flavors of this root beer, this root beer, this root beer. Yeah. And so they gave me, so they custom blended some flavorings based on the profiles I gave them. And then on Father's Day in 2017, we put out a social media post and say, hey, I made three root beers. There were three different flavor profiles. And hey, if you've, you know, mom and dad, if you bring the kids in, every kid's going to get a flight of three. And every kid's going to get a little ticket to vote, and you're going to vote for your favorite root beer. So
that's cool.
So all the kids voted for their favorite root beer, and it was actually kind of fun because on Father's Day, all these kids were running around the dining room. And they saw other kids with flights, and they're like, "Hey, pick number three! Pick number three!" It was like,
they're all lobbying.
All the little bullies were running around, like lobbying for their favorite flavor. You know? Yeah,
I was there. I bullied for number
two. It's like politics, politics of the 1920s.
Oh yeah, no, it's great.
Adam walks up, he's like, "Listen up, kid."
I lowered my voice a little bit.
So one of the flavors won out, and that became our root beer. So we created this root beer flavor profile, and so we've been making root beer since 2017. Well, as we started getting into seltzers, which is something that I resisted quite heavily.
Got like
you have seltzers?
We do make seltzers.
Oh man,
we make some of the best seltzers in the nation.
Actually, wait a sec. Let's back that up.
Wait, you make White Claw? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's not.
It's just like cardboard.
Who said that?
White Claw sucks.
Yeah.
I hate
something
White Claw.
About no shots over there?
Yeah.
No.
White Claw is...
Home Depot girl, are you drinking one of the seltzers?
Don't make me play the Four Doors, Morton.
Here, bring that over. I want to try this seltzer because I occasionally dabble in the seltzer.
Is there supposed to be alcohol in this root beer, though?
Yeah, there is alcohol
in that root beer.
How come I can't taste it?
Yeah, because that's root beer.
It's dangerous.
Yep.
So, oh my goodness. This is literally one of the best seltzers I've ever had.
This is really good.
Okay, and I only brought one. And actually, this is the first time that we have actually made in mass production and canned this one. This is our first low-calorie seltzer.
Oh yeah, that's the firm, Arnie.
Yeah, it's actually... on the label, it says... Hard Arnie, but being our production manager, when I asked him to try to do
that's
a lower
why I
calorie
like it. Who's Arnie?
He's
and
like, all right, we'll
why
do
is
a
he
firm
excited?
Arnie.
All right, it took three people to make that hard. All right, got it. All right,
okay. So
wait, what? Did I hear hard R?
Hard Arnie.
Oh yeah.
So we started making seltzers.
Three people.
I'm going to
spare
resistance.
You the gory details, but as of we sit here today, the Explorium Brewpub is the third most medaled, meaning we've won the third most medals for our hard seltzers of any
craft seltzer brand.
Maker in the country.
Like metal, not like metal.
Medals like...
Like, bronze, gold,
like gold medal.
Prestigious awards.
Yes. Okay.
Not this medal.
No, okay. Not that medal.
And no, we've won a lot of medals for our seltzers.
Nice.
And including the hard root beer. So what we started doing is, I mean, when you make root beer, it's literally like water, sugar, flavoring.
Sure.
And you carbonate it, whatever. But the hard root beer is different. The hard root beer has to be made like a seltzer because when we make seltzers, we're a brewery. So we have to ferment some malt and sugar, and we actually ferment it like a beer.
Can you start from the beginning on the process for making that?
We don't have that much time.
He's not serious.
Because Mike Doble will follow down that rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll go down that rabbit hole. But
can you give us the Cliff Notes version?
The Cliff Notes version is...
Water.
When we make hard root beer,
uh-huh.
We brew it like a beer. So it's
okay. That's hot water and malt
and sugar, and we boil it, and then we put it in a fermenter, and we add yeast, and we let it ferment. And after it's fermented and has the alcohol in it, then we add the flavoring.
All right.
So the root beer flavoring. So the root beer flavoring is added after it's fermented. Then we carbonate it. So when you drink the hard root beer. It's not like a very thin seltzer. It's got some creamy mouthfeel to it because it's made like a beer.
Syrupy.
It's not syrupy. It's just like
thick?
Nice, thick, creamy mouthfeel
with
the flavors of root beer, and you don't
walked right into it. Walked right into it.
I couldn't hold
sound
it anymore.
Guy,
I'm the only one. Here.
I looked right at no shots, and we just...
Thick and creamy.
Viscous.
Viscous.
In your mouth.
In your mouth.
Needs to be more hydrated.
My goodness.
Like a booger.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I was thinking something else. This.
Let's go.
Oh, my.
That's just
okay. So that was seltzers.
All right, derailed. Cool. I'm sorry.
Anyways,
God damn it, you all suck.
So seltzers, yes. So how do you get it from a, you know, that to not that?
So
I'm not going back down there. I'm sorry.
No. So it's just a really nice, like, clean seltzer base that we add the root beer flavorings, and it's a nice alcoholic beverage.
And we also have versions. We have taste like purple, taste like blue, taste like
really
orange. Yep, those are all amazing. We also do mimosa.
They all taste like the color that you're talking about. I've tried every single one of them.
It sounds crazy, but seriously,
it's not blueberry strawberry. It's blue, red.
Go back to your childhood when you got like a blue popsicle. Snow cone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Bob Pop.
That's what they all.
That's what they taste like.
Really?
Oh, so not crayons. Got it.
Yeah.
This tastes waxy.
Goddamn Marines and their crayons, man.
Oh, so do you guys sell this stuff to go at all of your locations?
Oh, yeah, we do. All spots awesome. Have to-go coolers. Root beer, seltzers to go, for
are you,
sure.
Are you we in also liquor are in stores? The
market, yep.
Yeah, we are. Actually, Otto's here in Menominee Falls.
Yeah.
Three Cellars here. Has it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, just ask them for what you're looking for. They'll talk to our sales guy.
All of the autos? Nice. Like, even the one in, like, Fox Point, Brown Deer.
Yeah. There's a Brown Deer auto.
He's by the Brown Deer one. Yeah, because I shop there a lot.
Yeah.
They got the wood sign, right, that says autos?
Yeah, it's a casket.
It's not a casket at all.
It's a cask.
Yeah,
cask.
Otto's wine cask.
The barrel-ish. Yes,
sorry. I was thinking of dead people.
Are you guys in other bars? Like if I go to Walski's Tavern in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
We are in a good amount of bars. We're not in Walski's. But not Walski's.
Not Walski's? Where are you?
We're going to have to talk to Bernie.
Yeah, we got an in there. We can...
let's go. I mean, we're happy to be there, but... You know, in reality, we go around to places that do a lot of volume of like craft beer and, you know, kind of the stuff that we do. And it's, we have a lot of accounts all around town that go through a lot of beer. But, you know, we're literally like we talk about the Explorium Hospitality Group, which is Joan and Mike. And we also talk about our sales force and distribution network, which is one guy.
You know? That's crazy. Although we are talking about evolving that with our
all your own distribution. You don't have like
for Exploring
own.
Beer. There, it's all and self-distributed.
One guy,
yeah, one guy,
one guy,
one guy with a box truck,
a brewery. Yep.
I mean, I know some people
manager.
That can distribute.
You guys got three ninjas.
Yeah,
you know,
no, they do amazing work, and you know, God bless their spinal cords. but they're doing. I mean, Mark, who's our sales guy, does an amazing job. But you know, then the Southridge Brewery has a head brewer. The Third Ward Brewery has a head brewer. The head brewer at the Farwell Brewery, which we're taking over right now and starting to make Explorium beers. And then we have a production manager that kind of orchestrates all of that. And it's it all works, but it's, you know, once again, I mean, going back to the reality of things, it's a very, very small family business. And there's, you know, Joan and I that kind of run things. We have managers that run the pubs, and we have head brewers and, you know, production guy. And, you know, when you look at the beers we make, I mean, everybody loves them and everybody likes to drink them and whatever else. But, you know, there's a lot of headwinds. You know, there's a lot of, you know, big breweries that are trying to shut down craft beer and make it not cool anymore. And, you know, Leinenkugel's, which seems like a, you know, really cool local brand, owned by Miller, you know, and now they're shutting down the Chippewa Falls brewery.
Yeah, I
heard that.
The brothers are trying to buy it back from them.
They're trying to fight that, yeah.
Yeah, no, so, you know, so it's just, there's just a lot of fucking bullshit in the market, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, we just want local people to drink local beer that made by local people that buy local ingredients and keep the money in the economy.
Yeah, you know? Not corporate bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just stay away from all that crap, you know?
I love that. I love that thought. Let's cheers to that thought. Let's keep it local.
Keep
and
it
stay
local.
Away from
there
that
you go.
Corporate bullshit.
Yeah. Cheers.
Oh, I'm
cheers.
Empty.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Oh, Adam needs a new
drink. I'm going to need a new drink. I'll do the...
Is that a hot dog beer?
The Japanese one.
Mitsu.
Dude, I drank the hot dog beer real fast. It's
Delicious. Yeah, the hot dog lager is... So can I tell the story of the hot dog lager?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay, so we have this beer called hot dog lager, and actually, you know, people that come into the pub, they call it hot dog water, you know, and we all know how gross hot dog water is, whatever. But hot dog lager
I bathe in it. From,
oh, I love,
love hot dogs.
I know, I love hot dogs too.
So you're saying you're like a wiener in your mouth?
So oh, about, I gotta say it, dude.
Wieners!
So about 4 years ago, okay, so getting back on track, about 4 years ago, we got together with 1840 Brewing in Eagle Park, and I think it was Component, or maybe it was New Barons. I don't know.
I know New Barons.
Yeah.
Heidi.
Like, great. Yeah, Heidi's great.
Yeah, you I've known her for years.
Cool local breweries, you know, and we got together, and we say, hey, we're all going to, like, pick a racing sausage, you know, from, you know, the Clements racing sausages.
Yeah.
We're all going to pick a racing sausage, and we're going to make a beer that goes with the racing sausage, right? So we throw all the sausages in a hat, the chorizo, the bratwurst, the Polish, blah, blah, blah. Well, we get the hot dog. Wait,
but, hey, that's my favorite.
Before you go too far, did you just throw the different sausages in there?
So no. Like a
no, but that would have been really cool.
Feel, right?
But that would have been so much more fun. We just threw slips of paper.
Oh. They feel different going in or what, Adam?
Some are thicker, some are meatier. It depends. Yeah,
they all come together nicely, though.
Anyways, so you picked the hot dog. So we got the hot dog.
So we had to make a beer to go with the hot dog.
Okay.
So, I mean, what else do? You do a very light American lager, right?
Yeah, like, you know, comparable to any light beer out there.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
Homebrewed.
Only
but,
better.
But, you know.
Yeah, local brewed.
All, you know, the finest, you know, barley
malts. Yes, of course.
Anyway, not real. I mean, maybe not the finest, but, you know, commodity barley malt, at least it was, you know, dry malt that's, you know, comes from Brees or Proximity, and which are local companies from Wisconsin. And so we created this nice all malt light American lager, and it became like super popular at our pubs.
What?
We already had the Livingstone or the, not the Livingstones, but we already had the Patagonian Hitchhiker lager. We already had our Crocus lager. We had already all these other lagers, but
wait, how many lagers have you had in the last 8 years?
Oh my gosh, a lot. We have a lot of lagers. We make a lot of lagers.
How many are still in effect and how many are on the backlog?
On tap right now today, we have Hot Dog, Crocus. Probably our Livingstone's Porter is also a lager. It's a Baltic Porter, so it's a lager. We have the...
Copper's on tap, isn't it?
Is Copper on tap?
Is Copper on tap? Copper's right?
I think
on
tap.
Copper's a lager.
That's weird that I'm commenting on this.
We have the Mitsu, which is a Japanese lager, which is in a can. So, yeah, lots of lagers.
That's six.
Yep.
And tap.
Yeah, and we have 24 taps, you know, and so, you know.
Wow.
So, anyway, the hot dog was super popular, so we just kind of kept it around. I mean, it's... It's become one of our favorites. Now we have it in cans, in these cool cans with the hot dog running around. I did 86 the picture of the hot dog with the sack hanging.
I mean, that would have been so much fun.
I would have drank that.
You missed April Fool's Day. It was literally days ago.
Oh my gosh, that would have been hilarious. But yeah, the hot dog lager has been super popular for us. A lot of fun.
Nice. With the hot dog lager, it's like when you make a beer and you first taste it versus it being a success. When you taste it, do you be like, I think this is going to do well?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm a beer guy, you know, right?
Right.
So I can taste the beer.
In Wisconsin, we call ourselves professional drinkers.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
That's what, I mean, you know what? I'm not a Wisconsin person. I wasn't born here.
I'm sorry.
I didn't grow up here.
Florida man moved to Wisconsin.
Yeah, no. Everyone's going to get upset about this.
But it became
you.
Like, I mean, these are my people.
Yeah. We can adopt right? You. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, honestly.
As long as you're not a fib, you're good.
How old were you when you were in Wisconsin?
So I moved to Wisconsin in 1998.
Oh, that's long enough.
He first came to visit in 1990.
Probably 1990, my first time.
Yeah, we met in college in 89. So
I was like 20 years old.
Let's hear the story. Let's hear the story.
A few moments later.
Really so
what's the hardest part from starting your business to getting to where you are right now? What was the hardest part?
The biggest thing you had to overcome?
I mean, that's
where you're like, fuck.
That's like a really
many times, yes.
That's right? That's a really easy question, because here's the deal. You conceptualize in your brain that, like, hey, this is the ideal place that I want to hang out. Great bartenders, great beer lists, great bourbon, great cocktails,
great food
menu, this whole thing, right? And, you know, you conceptualize all this, you create this great environment, and then you sit back and you're like,
now what?
Where is everybody?
Where are these people?
Where are these people that think this is a great idea and are liking us on social media and all of that? Like, okay, that's great, but... Come on down, folks. Yep.
Yeah.
But that, honestly, that's really the hardest part is, you know, you conceptualize all this stuff and you create all this thing, and you honestly kind of sit there in an empty space with all this staff that's looking at you like, where's all the people?
Yeah.
and that's what it is. And actually, we're dealing with that right now with Wayfinder. You know, it's a really cool spot. It's a cool space. It's well
decorated. Everyone who's come in and loves it.
Everybody. I mean, nobody has come in and go, oh, this place is kind of marginal or this stuff. You know, nobody said that. Everybody who's come in and goes, oh my God, this is like freaking amazing.
And this is on anonymous like feedback cards and everything.
Yeah, no. So, but still, you have to intercept people's habits.
Sure.
Right? And you have to be that place that when they say, oh, I don't really want to go home, but I don't, you know, what do I do? Top of mind is, hey, I want to go there, right?
Right.
And that's the hardest thing to kind of create is just to create that persona, that place, that comfort level, that feeling of, you know what? Home is great. I mean, I love going home and putting my feet up in my easy chair, but that can be, you know, I mean, we want more interaction than that. I mean, we're human beings. Sure. We love socialization and whatever else. And to create that place that creates that feeling and creates that that compelling, you know, I'd rather go there than go home because I want to talk to the people that I know and love versus I just want to go home and sit in my chair and decompress.
Right. You know?
And so that's the hardest part. I mean, really is to kind of create that feeling for enough people that you don't go out of business before you create it.
This has been another fun-filled episode of Triple B Nation Presents.
Bacon Bits.
Want to go on to a part two with this one, so be sure to tune in 2 weeks for the follow-up episode.
Let's go.
I want to thank Mike and Joan Doble from Explorium Hospitality Group for sponsoring this episode and for being on this episode. Yes.
And bringing the beer.
Thank you, guys.
Woo! Yeah. Second episode's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we're enjoying the beer.
Thank you all for tuning in. I've been Sneaky Pete along with Rockstars Drinking.
Andy J.
My beer.
The Chief.
No shot.
And then Mike and Joan.
Yeah.